Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the ring, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 241st episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I'm the host of this lovely show, and joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how are you doing?
I am great. I am in a good mood. I am excited. I'm a little over a month away before we leave for the London, so I'm excited for that. And then most important thing in life, my anniversary is next Thursday, which is a beautiful day. But next week, the most important day of my life is Monday, July 15th at 3 p.m. Central Time. 10 years in the making. I apologize in advance to all of my friends.
Because it's going to be taking a dip because we're not going to be having episodes as consistently once this game drops.
I can honestly say this without a doubt that I will communicate less on social media because I'll be busy. But anybody can catch this fade. If you want to lose to me on PS5, which is what will happen. I can hit you up with the gamer tag. I'll be putting it out from my at Floyd Johnson Jr. account. Because honestly, I've watched all the deep dives. Not something I've done with a video game. I can't even tell you any time I've done this with a video game. I've done all the deep dives. I've watched it. I watched the Road to Glory stuff today. And yeah, I'm going to be busy. I'm going to play it a lot. I'm very excited about this game as much as anything. I was telling my wife, I was like, just a worry. I was like, she has not known me during college football release. Like, because we didn't meet until after they quit making the game. So she's lived in this bubble of attentive, loving husband. On Monday, I'm going to be a less attentive, probably no less loving, but less attentive. Yeah. But yes, the deep dive on the game, it looks like it's there. There's a lot of tweaks, a lot of new buttons, a lot of different things. So what that means is it's going to be like you're learning to play a game. So like when I'm starting off, I'm like, I won't care about losing at first. But then, you know, when I get it, yeah, I'm going to get you. So I'm looking forward to it. Me and the University of Texas San Antonio Roadrunners are taking over for the 2-4 and the 2-5.
Oh, okay. All right. I will say, too, I will be for sure reaching out to you because I know we can still play crossplay. We can't do Dynasty mode together on crossplay because EA can't give us all the great things, unfortunately. But I will be reaching out to you to play crossplay from you on your PS5 and me on my Xbox. Because I need to play you in that game for sure.
I am very excited. I it's just like it is grown man Christmas, you know. Because you know, really, once you give them an adult, you generally buy yourself what you want when you want it. The closest things to Christmas once you become an adult is release dates, because those are you have to wait until that day. You can't just go get it. You have to wait until that day. So. Yeah, I am ready to open my present on Monday, And yeah, I can tell you, the gameplay could be terrible. I'm never going to not play it. I'm just letting you know.
It's been 10 years, man. Yeah, it's been 10 years. It's a layup. Like, you've been waiting for this. You've been waiting for this.
Yes, this is it. I literally bought my brother a PS5 and the game. I'm going over, set it up for him tomorrow, have the game downloaded. So literally all he has to do when the game launches is just press play. And yeah, I've never been in a better, you know, when it is like a better mood as far as that stuff that's not wrestling.
It's going to be fun, dude. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I already said RIP NXT because, you know, I watch TV on Monday. I am never going to miss Raw. I'm never going to miss Dynamite, right? I'm never going to, you know, I'm not going to miss SmackDown, Rampage, or Collision. So Tuesday and Thursday are going to be my big gaming nights now. And yeah, so.
Yep.
NXT, we had a good run.
Shout out, had a good run. That day is now taken.
Congratulations to former AEW wrestler All Ego Ethan Page on becoming the new NXT World Champion at Heat Wave this past week. I want to send a congratulations to him. I, for one, when people leave and come and go, I still root for them no matter where they go. And I'm a big Ethan Page fan. I've always thought there was more to Ethan Page than we got presented. And I've always loved his heel work. I think when he's a shitty heel, there's like not a lot of people better than him. So I'm happy that he got work done. But again,
absolutely.
If you look at wrestling, I'll tell you anyway. And there was some couple more signings that might be going to WWE instead of AEW. Yeah. AEW only has 5 hours of TV a week. Not everybody can be featured. If you don't see a clear spot for yourself in AEW, I don't see why you wouldn't go look somewhere else.
And then also congratulations to former WCPW champion Joe Hendry on being the biggest thing in wrestling. And you know, I mean, he's basically on NXT now. So I love seeing Joe Hendry get his flowers. I love that man. I was watching him in 2017. Legendary guy, and it's great to see him do good stuff too. Dude, so I just want to mention that.
Dude, every time I saw him in Impact, anywhere before, when I first heard the name Joe Hendry, and I saw his thing, and I was like, why is he not in the WWE? He's so entertaining. I mean, is he the greatest in-ring performer ever? No. But, dude, the way WWE generally presents their wrestling, that dude was born for it. I mean, the way I described it to my friend Dave when he asked, what's this thing with Joe Hendry? I'm like, he's White R Truth.
That's great.
Put a mic in his hand. He's going to make you laugh. He's going to make you feel. He's going to do all that stuff. I mean, once he gets in the ring, it's pretty much he does his thing. But, I mean, he's not a bad wrestler at all. It's just, He is very much just him.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But with that everything out of the way, we're going to get into all things Elite from this past week of AEW. A big AEW Dynamite that just took place with the Owen Hart Cup Finals taking place and some big moments that also took place on this show. Before we get into everything, though, we want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on Google or Apple Podcasts. If you listen to us on Spotify or wherever you choose to listen to us, please give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. You can also follow us on social at AT Elite Pod. You can follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, Sumowicz. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Also, just realized, too, Google Podcast doesn't exist anymore. So YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you can get podcasts that you have this show, first of all, thanks for listening, and give us a download, a share, rate, review, subscribe, the whole nine yards. So with that all out of the way, we'll get into our news of the week for AEW, which was that we had some pretty big returns, actually, that has been taking place this week for AEW. Floyd, I will pass it off to you because, I mean, I'm sure you're going to want to get in on this.
Actually, that news of the week was for last week. But hey, let's talk about it for this week. Yeah, I did. That was a copy and paste. That's on me. But we did have some a return.
I was going to say, it's going to be a spoiler warning.
It's going to be a spoiler.
I just want to make this sure.
But nothing happened as far as storyline. So,
and this is, yeah, exactly. You
know, so shout out to my boys, Jack Harwood and Cash Wheeler, FTR. They appeared on Collision. I don't know if this means they're back, but, you know, I'm glad they seem to be healthy, but they don't seem like the type that just would come out. I mean that's literally a trip to Toronto. I mean, or you know, Alberta,
Calgary, yeah.
Calgary. So I'm hoping that means that they're, if they came back, that they're back. So I am excited about that. They came out to support Tommy Billington after his match. So yeah, I don't know who won because I didn't even receive results. I just actually saw a picture. But I did see my boys are back. I am excited because the residency in Arlington starts next week. So if they're back, they'll be back. Hopefully that means they'll be back for Arlington.
Yeah, no, so huge seeing those guys back. And like you said, Jack Harwood and just Smash Wheeler.
Yes, Smash
Wheeler. Them boys look big.
Yes. Yeah,
The pictures they saw on Twitter, maybe it was the lighting, I don't know, but man, they must have been putting hours in the gym or something, because holy crap, them boys is jacked.
Yes.
And regardless of if they're cleared or whatever, it's just nice to see them, because God, I love them so much. And we'll see what the whole deal is when Collision airs this weekend, but yeah, just a bit of a spoiler thing was that FTR making an appearance. We'll see if they're fully back once Collision rolls around and everything like that. And if they show up later, because we'd love to see them for the 250th episode of Dynamite. Be great to see them there, even if they're not wrestling. So, you know, put the boys on there. Like, yeah. I'd love to see them.
Get my guys on there. I honestly, as far as Blood and Guts, this is just my preference. I am not, like, the idea. I would FTR in there instead of the Acclaimed.
Oh, sure.
FTR and Mark Briscoe have their little, you know, their little bond. So I think they would probably make more sense than anybody else. But we'll right. see. So,
we'll touch on the Acclaimed too in a little bit on the show. But we're going to get into Stadium Saddle Dome in Calgary, which opened up with the Aerial Assassin, the international champion, Will Ospreay, coming out and talking about how he was disgusted after what happened last week at Dynamite with MJF. But he wasn't surprised, though, because he's heard rumors about who MJF is, that he's one of the most insecure men in pro wrestling. And he showed that, because a guy like Daniel Garcia earns every opportunity he gets. The moment he's creeping up on your popularity and stepping in on MJF's turf, he puts a stop to it. Pile driver off the second turnbuckle, and you want to blame the people, MJF? Blame them for being open and vulnerable with them? I've only had a few interactions with you, and I can already tell you don't like me, because reason one, the bidding war of 2024 did not go your way, because TK would rather spend his money on guys that will elevate AEW rather than bury it. Number two is that apparently you think I'm a talentless hack, and you're welcome to that opinion, but last I checked, I'm in Calgary, and we can all agree that I've got more talent in my left nut than MJF has in his entire body. And then he mentions him because the main reason you don't like me is because I remind people what the identity of AEW is, the foundation of this place I represent. You came back from injury and you had a tattoo that said AEW bet on yourself, but you only care about yourself. From the minute I stepped into AEW, I've been cleaning up messes, and now I found the guy who's been making said messes. Your whole act is that you're a scumbag. Some people are going to cheer you on because you're their scumbag, but the best MJF version of MJF is the same old stuff that you've been doing for 5 years, and the level of the devil is currently on the ground floor, but I'm on the top floor of a skyscraper. And he calls him out, his music plays, MJF appears on the screen and goes, hey, up here, basically, I'm not in Calgary, not gonna happen. So he goes, these people don't deserve the privilege of seeing me because I've beaten every one of their favorites, and you think you're any different? You're a joke. He says, I don't have to murder myself to get them interested in me. I just speak. You're a wind-up monkey that they just like to wind up. And once they realize they've seen your routine, and they'll get tired of it, and they'll try to throw you in the trash like they tried to do with me, but I'm not replaceable. But they'll throw you out and they'll replace you with the next flippy guy that comes around claiming to be the best in the world. So he says, I'm not wrestling you tonight. I don't wrestle for fun or for fans' amusement. Next week, MJF versus Will Ospreay for the International Championship. That'll be for the first time. You won't be wrestling for stars because I'll be punching you in the face until you start seeing them. Ospreay calls that adorable and then says, I'll see you next week, you little bitch. And confirm now, AEW Dynamite 2, Episode 250, International Championship match between MJF. I thought this segment was pretty good. Ospreay went on Twitter and apologized for it. I don't know why. I don't remember exactly what was the reason why he apologized. Maybe it was for the bidding war line. I don't know exactly what he was referring to because he didn't really clarify.
I will tell you.
I just thought I mentioned that because I saw he tweeted that. Yeah.
I will tell you, yeah. He said, all right, guys, I realized I made a mistake during my comments last night on Dynamite. I'll do better next time under a lot of stress personally and wasn't really focusing on
my wording. I saw that, yeah.
And result didn't add up. This is what I will take it as, and people, you can take it as you want. I think acting to a pre-played video is difficult. You know what I mean? Because the MJF was a pre-recording. He has to hit his cues, blah, 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 to go back and forth with something that's pre-recorded. Second of all, I didn't think it was that bad. I didn't notice anything. I can say this very quickly. What I noticed, Calgary did not give a fuck.
No, they did not. It was no anything there.
No, like they were sitting on their hands.
And everyone was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, he hit a few lines where it looked like he was expecting a reaction and got nothing. Like, nothing. I was like, oh, when he made those bidding war 2024, all those stuff. It was like, generally, the fan base would be like, oh my God, you got him. But nobody reacted to anything in that crowd. I was not sure the people in Calgary were alive.
Yeah, no, this crowd was...
I think someone mentioned Bret Hart during the thing, and they finally, I was like, oh.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, they are awake. And then, you know, with the end story. But yeah, I didn't hear the crowd during this at all. And this is one of those things where, you know, Will Ospreay is what it is. You know, there are people that are lean on the mic that when people aren't giving them something, can say something to get their reaction. He's not quite there yet. And it really is harder when you're a good guy, because when you're a good guy, yes. you know, the bad guy, you can start just making fun of the Calgary Flames or whatever you want to do.
Right, you can take a quick cheap pop to get people angry.
Yes,
sure.
Yes. But when you're a good guy, you have to say something to get them behind you. This fan base they were either tired from work, or a lot of people were just there because they were at the Stampede this weekend or something. But I just, like, he didn't get any reaction out of this. That's the only thing I could think. And I just, like, I would tell him, I was reacting at home because I, you know, the lines hit. But if you are not, like, on the other side of wrestling fandom, you weren't going to make a lot of, you weren't going to understand a lot of his references.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. But regardless, I thought it was a solid enough segment. And again, that match is a money match you just put for Dynamite 250. Shows now must watch television, because that was huge that they put that show match on the very next week. So I cannot wait for that.
I will tell you right now, because Little Rock's only 5 hours away from me.
I was going to say, yeah, man, you've got to be thinking like,
Yeah, if it was not for London and literally trying not to spend any extra money until then, I would be in Little Rock next week. It would be, yeah, that would be slow, but I am on restriction right now. So, but yeah. Understand, I want to be there for 250. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Moving on, we had the men's tournament final for the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. The American Dragon, Brian Danielson versus Hangman Adam Page. Now, before we get into the match, we're not going to go over Collision just because we don't have a ton of time. And I got to get ready because I'm a Detroit boy and Eminem drops a new album tonight. Death of Slim Shady, coup de grace, must listen for me. I have to be there when it drops at midnight tonight. So we're going to just glance over Collision just real quick. But the one thing I will mention from is probably cutting some of the best promos of his entire career. Because holy shit, that promo he cut backstage that was aired on Collision. was absolutely, absolutely spectacular.
Yes, and I have been one of those people banging this drum that there is no world or no version of this story where I think Hangman's the bad guy, and I'm glad he understands that. He is not the bad guy. And I'm like, hey, is Liam Neeson's character basically becomes a serial killer to kill everyone that has anything to do with his daughter disappearing and taken, right? He's not the bad guy, you know? He was forced to go there. Everything Hangman is doing right now, he's not the bad guy. He has been forced to be who he is now, and I love it, and I love that they acknowledged it, and I love that his side of it. He sees himself as righteous. He sees himself as justified. And you know what? Whether you're a Hangman or Swerve fan in this particular case, you have to be able to see Hangman's point.
You got to understand why he's being the way that he is. Now, you don't have to like it. You could be like, ah, fuck you still for doing all this shit. But makes sense why he's doing it. I mean, he literally is slamming on walls and tables, screaming, he broke into my house and was there with my daughter, with my child, and you people chose him.
Dude, when he said he broke into my house with my child, he sounded like me when it first happened. I'm like, how are y'all taking Swerve's side? Like, how's this, and that's why I always said, and this is going on the other side, I never want to book wrestling, because I'm like, oh, I had to do break into his house, what's going to happen? Oh, they're going to start cheering for the guy that broke into his house. Huh? I don't understand this. So I would hate to be the one booking it, because it's like, oh, so I had this guy break into his house and basically threaten his family, and he's the good guy now.
Yeah. So that was
math,
spectacular.
No math.
Yeah, no, exactly. The whole promo was incredible. And this is the, like, Hangman's character work has always been, I think, the best that he does, is because, I mean, when he was the anxious, depressed millennial cowboy that won the world championship, that was one of the best storylines AEW had had in their first couple years. And seeing the just mental state of Hangman Adam Page completely deteriorate now to the point where he's not anxious anymore. He's just full-blown schizophrenic with the way that he's acting right now. And it's incredible. Like, it was incredible stuff. And also, Collision itself was a good show. Shout out to MJF's really good promo, too, that opened up the show where he gave us all the member berries, where he went full heel, just getting right back into the cut my music heel work that MJF has established himself as being one of the best at doing. Oh, it's so good to have our little shitbag MJF back. I missed him so.
I got to tell people, I've been telling this to same people, though. One thing I can say AEW, I wouldn't even say does wrong, but has not adjusted in their storytelling. When MJF went face, quote unquote, he has to still be him. That's what fans loved. They don't want the good guy, and they don't want the guy saying, oh, man, I love my people. No, they want him to be the same guy. They just want to cheer him for doing the same shit. So, classic MJF is back. I thought that was one thing from Collision I would bring up, is how they took that promo in two situations where MJF were kind of at his lowest, where the promo talking about having ADHD. I remember a lot of people were like shitting on that.
Yeah.
And then he did get basically thank you, Joe, as he got rebuilding. And he took those two moments that are largely forgotten for the most part, and used those to explain why he hates us. And I got to tell you, after he explained it, I hated me a little bit too. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what happened. You know,
yeah.
He opened himself up. He started treating people better. And then people turned on him immediately. They were waiting on the devil. They were cheering him. They were cheering Cole. They were cheering MJF's misery. Another kind of I mean, I know he's the bad guy, but is he a bad guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So great stuff again. So just gonna mention that too, even though we're glancing over Collision. Collision this past week was a really good show, but again, Shady's dropping. You gotta understand where I'm at right now. So
TV has been, over the last few weeks, have been really good.
It's been really good.
They haven't got their audience back yet, which, again, I think it's, I keep having great episodes.
It'll come back.
Yeah, people will start telling people, hey, it's good again, and some people will come back. You will never get everybody back. That's just not, once it gets out of their rotation, once they stop planning to watch something, you're never going to get them back.
Once the routine is broken, then it's hard to start it back up.
Oh, yeah. So what you're trying to do is to get some people back and then get some new people.
Yeah. So, but back to Dynamite, the men's final for the Owen Hart Cup tournament. Danielson versus Adam Page. Jeff Jarrett, special guest enforcer, there to make sure he follows through, make sure that Owen Hart's legacy is respected and this goes to a clean finish. And go through all that. And this was a really good match. Danielson was they went after his neck, because of course they did, because Danielson likes to make us sweat, because he knows how to poke at our buttons with us being like, take care of yourself. And he's like, fucking YOLO. And then just does all the crazy shit, even though we're like, you know, we'd like you to make it to your final match. You know, we'd like you to make it there in one piece. And Hangman's new attitude with this schizophrenic, like I said, style of him being just the most unhinged man alive is incredible. Him ripping off the muscle tape on his shoulder and neck, just the great moments in there. There was a great where you saw Hangman go for Orihara moonsault, and Danielson gets up and he takes a fucking bump on his back on the apron, and it just looks vicious. And Hangman, then there was a point where he dodges the Busaiku knee after he got hit with it once. The second time Danielson went for it, he hits the referee in the face, and that's when Hangman decides that he's going to jump ahead on this. He'd already kind of did that a little bit, because he exposed the steel of the turnbuckle attachment and just threw his head directly on the metal bar when he was on the top rope. But then after Danielson proceeds to, I'm going to go back a little bit too, where Danielson jumps over, springboards off of the top rope out to the ring and does a full flip, lands on Hangman, and he's kind of they're telling how he's got a stinger. And that's when Danielson proceeds to knock him down, and the ref is checking on him, and the Doc Samson's checking on him and all that kind of stuff. At one point, though, when Hangman's staring Jeff Jarrett in the face, he pie faces him, and Jeff's like, "Nope, I'm not gonna feed into that. I'm not taking that bait," which I thought was a cool little moment. But then there's a moment where Danielson hits Paul Turner accidentally with the Busaiku knee. Danielson again gets knocked down with a inside out bump from a discus lariat. Then he takes off his belt, and Hangman's going to hit him with the leather belt. He does, and then he proceeds to get ready to choke him with it, but that's when Jeff Jarrett gets up. He gets in the ring, he gets shoved to the ground by Hangman, and Jeff takes off his t-shirt and reveals that he has a referee uniform, so now that Paul Turner's out, him being the enforcer, he's taking over as the referee. Rolls him up quickly, Danielson, but it's a near fall, and then they just trade off submissions. Danielson gets hit with the dead eye, but kicks out at two still. Buckshot to the back, then he goes for a second one. Danielson rolls up, near fall, transitions into a crossface. Looks like he's going to fade out, but as Jeff checks on his arm, it doesn't drop. Danielson hooks him up, gets another roll up. This time he pins him, and Hangman is beside himself. And Bryan Danielson wins the Owen Cup, wins the Owen Hart Foundation tournament, and he will be now facing Swerve Strickland for the AEW World Championship at AEW All in London. It was very nice to see Dr. Martha Hart there with Jeff, and they presented him with the trophy and the belt. And yeah, really good match. I thought it had a lot of twists and turns. I love the intensity of it. Both men bleeding very much so. I thought it was, for the first match of the show, I mean, they knocked it out of the park, I thought.
Dude, yeah, this is a classic match. We'll go into my top 10, 20 in AEW Dynamite history. It was a really good match. Jeff Jarrett was used great because he didn't really, he never actually physically got involved except to stop stuff from happening. And I even liked that he hated Hangman, right? He wanted Hangman to lose, but he respected Owen and Owen Hart and the integrity of the Owen Hart tournament to not do a fast count. All his three counts were very deliberate, and he wanted there to be a clear winner. The crazy thing is, and the one thing Hangman could do if he wanted to, is that when he had him in the crossface, it looked like Bryan Danielson had went out. But Jeff Jarrett took an inexplicably long time, if you're looking at it as a ref, to check on him, so to basically allow him time to recover. I just thought this was brilliant, and how it was done. I love this match, especially because either way, it was like A or B, there was no wrong answer. So it was like, if you went with Bryan Danielson versus Swerve to headline All In, that's great. If you went with Swerve versus, you went with Swerve versus Hangman, which is probably your hottest feud in the company on the men's side, that works too. They both worked. It was beautiful.
Yeah, no, I love the way that it was, they all worked together. And I thought it was a really great first match of the show. We moved over to Swerve Strickland making his return. He congratulated Bryan Danielson for winning the Owen Cup and saying it'll be a true honor. But he's not holding over the fact that you have a pinfall victory over me, Bryan, and I'm someone who holds on to grudges. So he's like, we're at two different points. You're on the downslide. You're looking right now, though, with me as the most dangerous man in AEW. He then proceeded to talk about Will Ospreay and said he was, he silenced him saying he was the best in the world. Now you're looking at the best in the world and the AEW world champion. And then he switches over to the EVPs and says they tried to bribe me with mini Reebok pumps and also tried to offer me a spot in Blood and Guts in Team Elite. And he said, I will be joining Blood and Guts on Team AEW. Now, you do not make a Team AEW and not offer the world championship a spot on that team, so I will lead that team. I'm going to do not one, but two things Bryan Danielson failed to do. One is beat Ospreay, and two is lead Team AEW in a victory against the Elite. And he talks about then we're in a dynasty era, and three men who were appointed the lead of the dynasty was me. Number two was the international champion, Will Ospreay. And three was Kazuchika Okada, the continental champion. So he offers a challenge to Okada, him versus Okada for the world championship and the world champion. We'll show you how to make it rain. So he calls out Okada for a match, which is huge. And he calls out Bryan Danielson then for All in London. And he said, I promise you, this will be your final countdown, which I love so, so much. This was a solid promo, I thought, from Swerve. I thought he did a pretty solid job of getting everybody involved of what was taking place. It's nice to see that he'll be in Blood and Guts representing Team AEW because, I mean, him being in Team AEW makes sense because he's the world champion. I thought it was solid. I thought it was a solid little promo.
Okay, so this is a polarizing promo because I saw some different comments online. And I listened to it. I came out of this promo very impressed by Swerve. And the reason why is, and I think people just read, like my in my groups might have read my statement wrong. He cut a heel and a face promo concurrently at the same time. When he was talking about Bryan Danielson, he was very much heel, I'm going to murder you, Swerve.
Yes. I'm gonna end you, yeah.
When he was talking about Elite, he was the leader of AEW Babyface.
Yeah.
So if you...
So he was very much trying to be like in the middle because he kind of is still a tweener.
Yes. So if you're a complex person, if you don't like overly complex wrestling storylines, you might not like this. You might want a clear focus on one thing. But as the champ, as the person that wants to carry the flag for AEW... His personality has been split. He is both the leader of AEW on one hand, the leader of the AEW brand on one hand, and on the other hand, he's the chased champion. He is the hunted champion. So okay, he's going to be vicious against the Elite, but Bryan Danielson's trying to take the thing that's more most important into him. So when he's addressing Bryan Danielson, he is cold, he is a killer, and Bryan Danielson beat him, so he fucking hates that. When he's talking to the Elite, he's like, I lead this brand, this is my brand, so I gotta come get you. And he's very much a babyface. So I can understand if you like traditional wrestling promos, this might not be for you because it wasn't a singular focused promo. He has two storylines going on, and he cut basically two promos, but he cut it at one time. So based on the reaction, I don't know if this could work in the future. Maybe he wants to go more clear defined promos because apparently people can't handle it. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a masterclass in promos because I've never heard anyone do this. And I thought he communicated everything that he wanted to do with both of those feuds that he has going on. I thought it was clear. I thought it was concise. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe my ADD actually worked for me. And so since he was cutting two promos, I was able to follow it easier. But that shit was amazing to me.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty solid, honestly. I thought, like, you know, I could understand him, like, people being concerned with how he kind of jumped all over from where his, like, alignment was in terms of heel or babyface and stuff like that. But even still, I thought it still worked out well, and I enjoyed the promo. I didn't think it was anything incredible, but I still thought that it worked pretty well.
Mine incredible came from the skill that it takes to, you have to be pretty like focused. It'd be like, I guess be like you trying to report two stories at the same time. You know what I mean? With two different levels of like anger or whatever. And I thought he did a good job switching. And I, like I said, I'd never heard really. I know people know more about wrestling than me. I am not the czar. I am not the genius of wrestling, the encyclopedia. So somebody might have cut a promo like this in the past, but this is the original time in recent history. I can't remember a promo like this before.
Right. We then had a music video of the Acclaimed and their diss track to the Young Bucks. So automatically, you're getting brownie points for me for dissing the Bucks. I just want to state that. And I honestly enjoyed this, considering the fact that, you know, I'm not really heavily excited about the Acclaimed seemingly like they're going to be in Team AEW for Blood and Guts, just because it just doesn't seem like, you know, we talked about this last week about how the team felt weaker than it was when they had Team AEW versus Team Elite for Anarchy in the Arena. And the Acclaimed have been kind of on the downturn for the most part. And you know, we just feel like there should be some, that spot should be afforded to someone else. But I did like the diss track, honestly. I thought it was fun. I enjoyed it. That being said, though, it's rough when you put out a diss track and then, you know, you also get dissed by Mansoor, who just got signed with Eminem getting signed. Not my Eminem, but, you know, Mason Mansoor getting signed to Ring of Honor. And then Mansoor proceeds to diss you back because you were like, we don't want them. And then he disses you back pretty damn well, too. So all I care about now is if we can get a diss war between Mansoor and Max Caster, because I would enjoy the fireworks of that.
He had bars. I forgot what the line was.
Bars.
I forgot what the line was at the same. He's like, oh, you just make my fries or something? Or,
yeah, there's that, and he calls him Anthony Bowens is Marty Jannetty, which yes. I thought was a diss. Yes. That was a diss.
So, yeah, maybe we get the Acclaimed versus Eminem. I don't know. The only thing about the Acclaimed is it's like their group is the fun-loving group, right? You don't want the fun loving group in your War Games type match. You don't want that. I don't want R-Truth in War Games in the WWE. I don't want the Acclaimed in my Blood and Guts match. And I know, you know, people might take that personally, but I'm actually a very, very big fan of R-Truth, so it was not in any slight. It's just when you present, when you've presented yourself as a certain type of character, right? you want, you know, it's best that your matches or whatever go along with the character. And they're the fun-loving guys. So if they do a storyline where they come off more vicious or whatever, you know, the new Vicious the Acclaimed, yeah, it's cool. But I'm sorry, it's hard to take a person named Daddy Ass serious in War Games.
I want to,
but it's just like the Ass Boys and the Scissorine. It's like, oh yeah, there's a lane for them. That lane is not Blood and Guts, you know.
Right.
But maybe they get put in there and they step up. Because I've always thought Bowman's is an exceptional wrestler. I've always thought Max was a great character, fine wrestler, but great character. So you know, I don't think it would be bad. But I just think there's more heat out there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get it. I understand it. And there's more heat out there for sure. But I just wanted to mention I did like the diss. Even though I want more power for Team AEW and Blood and Guts, and I feel like the Acclaim just don't offer that currently, I did really like the diss. I had a lot of fun with it.
Correct. And it's just, I don't know. It's like booking tells you who people think you are. And, you know, they got the win over the Young Bucks. They did get the win over the Young Bucks. And yes. I want to see that tag match. But it's just like, do I want to see them in Blood and Guts? I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know. I know there are a lot. I got a lot of friends that are Acclaim fans. And I just hope everyone knows that I'm not saying this like, that I don't like the Acclaim. I just think there's a role that they fill at this company.
Right.
It's not in Blood and Guts.
Yeah. So, anyways, we then had the Calgary Stadium Street Fight. Stampede Street Fight, I should say. The FTW champion, Chris Jericho, with Brian Keith by his side versus Samoa Joe. This made people mad. Ooh, people got real, real mad on this one. I thought, honestly, the one part I did love, I will say, in this match was when there was a point where Jericho goes for suplex and Joe is just like, this motherfucker, is he serious right now? Is he serious? I did like how Joe was able to get rid of Brian Keith early before Jericho was able to get back into it. The weapon usage was pretty fun. It was pretty fun, I thought, for the most part. But Big Bill and Brian Keith, they managed to come in and get the helping hand out there because they proceeded to throw, after Jericho gets hot coffee and throws it in Samoa Joe's face, Joe gets out of the Judas effect. He gets away from it, rear naked choke, and that's when Big Bill comes out and he proceeds to crack Samoa Joe in the back with a steel chair. They then hold him with him and Brian Keith holding him. And Jericho proceeds to take his belt, punch Samoa Joe in the face. They then put him on a pallet on a forklift, drive the forklift through a wall, which collapses. It collapses on Samoa Joe, and the doctor calls off the match, and Chris Jericho wins it. And then they proceed to take him away. Paramedics put him in an ambulance, and Jericho's just like, bye, Joe. Thanks. Bye. I mean, this was pretty much, it was a fun mess, I will call it. And you know, you put away Samoa Joe in an ambulance and Chris Jericho was the one who put him in an ambulance. People are going to be fucking mad about that. I promise you, they get mad. I thought this was pretty fun for the most part. I want Joe to come back with a vengeance now to just beat the living hell out of him. So it's doing what it wants. It's waiting for me to see Samoa Joe come back, and I want to see him just pummel Chris Jericho. But I thought it was fun. But, you know, out of everything that was on the show, I will say it was the weakest part of the show. I don't think I'm afraid in saying that. So,
dude, let me say, every time Chris Jericho's on my screen, I've been approved. I liked how this was all built out. I just wanted to make sure that was
right.
Because it was like, oh, Shibata and Hook were out of the building. Taz was escorted from the building. the way they did it, the way they executed this, which was brilliant, is they made it very clear at the beginning that Samoa Joe was all alone. None of his people were there. So Jericho, being the guy that he is, manipulated everything for it to be like this. And, you know, the embarrassment of Joe keeps attacking him, and basically Hook choosing to sit under Samoa Joe's learning tree instead of Jericho, he had to get revenge. And, you know, this is how you build. This is how you get build a storyline. Now you got Chris Jericho. They stepped on Shibata's arm. Brian Keith did that. Took out Hook in a stretcher, and now took out Samoa.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Joe, they have defeated the group. The group doesn't have a name right now, but they have completely decimated and defeated the group, and now they're going to have to come back with a vengeance, and I'm looking forward to that. That's going to make for a very hot storyline. I'm pretty sure, you know, that might end up being our stadium stampede match for All In.
Honestly, it seems like that could be the case, just because of how, like, crazy that match very well could be.
Because dude, you give us those three, and then this is complete fantasy booking. They have not leaned towards this, and give me Ishii and Minoru Suzuki on Joe's side, and then Jericho grabs a couple people on this side. Maybe Sammy Guevara comes back and joins them, and then another guy. Yeah, I'd watch that five all day.
Oh yeah. Moving on now to the next part, we had the Global Glory four-way match between Claudio Castagnoli, Kyle Fletcher, The Bastard Pack, and Tomohiro Ishii, with the winner receiving a title shot for the AEW International Championship. This was fun. This was a really, really good one. I love there was a point where Ishii was just fucking going after everybody. And I mean, it went from 0 to 60 from basically Jump Street. Fast pace, high flying stuff. Kyle Fletcher, I love too how he was able to just, him and Pac were going after each other early in this match. I loved seeing them go after each other. Claudio and Ishii bringing the hard hitting stuff as well. Honestly, as the match went on, I was like, anybody in this ring could go after the International Championship, and I would be completely, completely happy with it. But eventually, there's a point where Claudio takes Fletcher and hits a neutralizer. Pac then gets in with Claudio and squares off with him. Ishii then gets hit with a German suplex by Pac, which was super freaking cool. Kyle Fletcher tries to roll up Pac. He doesn't get the pin, but that's when Pac proceeds to get up, splash onto Fletcher, hit the Black Arrow, get the Brutalizer on Kyle Fletcher, and then he taps out Kyle Fletcher, pissing off Don Callis in the process, which I thought was great. And Pac getting a shot at him, reclaiming the title that he was the first champion. I mean, obviously, it's a different name now. He was the first All-Atlantic champion. Now it's the International Championship. And now he's going to be going after... he's going to be going after Will Ospreay, and I'm so gassed about it. I'm so gassed. Those two are going to have a banger match. He gets on the mic then and say, you know, things have not been going well for me recently, because since I returned to AEW in March, I've made many bold promises and suffered humiliating failures, and I don't know what I'm going to do next, but when it's All In season, I know what to do, and I won't be denied my Wembley moment. So let's let tonight's victory stand as a line in the sand. The Bastard will be back, which I thought was great, and those two going after each other, if that's the All-In match that they're setting up, is going to be the Bastard Pack versus the International Champion, probably Will Ospreay. Ooh, buddy. I like this a lot. I thought this was a damn fun match. High flying, high action, high octane. And I'm all for Pack getting another shot at the title, because, I mean, he was a great first champion for that belt.
I love this match because they gave it some stakes. It wasn't just a fatal four-way. It was to get the match at All In. I thought that was exciting. Whoever they go with next week, whether it's Will Ospreay or MJF, that makes a big match with Pac. So I'm excited for that. Pac is, he's one of the better people in the wrestlers in the world. Him in a singles match in Wembley is amazing. Him UK versus UK in Wembley, that would be awesome. It would be like, it would be the version of, in a way, Brett versus Davey Boy Smith. But, you know, they're both the Davey Boy Smith, so that'd be awesome.
Right. Yeah, no, I would be love to see all of that. So we'll move on now. We have backstage, Renee Paquette goes to try to interview Hangman after his loss. He ignores him, and Renee got pissed. She's like, I'd like to be shown a little respect around here. To which Hangman just stares her in the face and then bangs on the door for the Elite. Show my girl Renee some respect, I will say, as a broadcaster. Show her respect. Answer her questions. You know, she's there to do her job. Let her do her job. I will be there sitting. I will be right there defending Renee Paquette all day, every day. He tries to open the door to the Elite's dressing room. Okada answers it, and he tries to push back as he goes, can I help you? And they stare each other down, and that's when the Bucks tell him, like, you know, stand down. Matt's like, anything we can do for you today, Hangman? Sorry, that's just how his voice sounds in my head. And then he just says, straight up, I'll do it. He walks off, and Okada's like, you guys okay? He's like, now we are. I think we'll be just fine. Everyone knows how much I hate the Elite and how much I hate this group, except for Okada-san. I love Okada. This is great because Hangman just lost his chance to get his hands on Swerve. He wins the Owen Cup and he gets his hands on Swerve. The man who broke into his house, was there with his child, and beat him to a bloody pulp on multiple occasions. At this point, Swerve is public enemy number one for Hangman. And he lost his chance to get his hands on him. Because he couldn't win the Owen. And now, even though he went to them and was like, I don't want anything to do with you, he has to work with Satan himself. He has to work with the Elite in order to get his hands on Swerve. Because now that Swerve has said he'll be on Team AEW, Hangman wants to get his hands on Swerve. And to get his hands on him in blood and guts? Psycho Hangman likes the sound of that. So, you know what? If I got to stand side by side with the worst thing in professional wrestling, for the time being, I will take that if it means I can murder this man. I think character-wise, this is spectacular stuff. I think this is really, really good stuff. I love the fact that Hangman is going to all lengths possible to get his hands on Swerve. And, you know, again, the crowd's all the way on Swerve's side on this. They love Swerve. Swerve's one of the biggest things in AEW. He's the world champion. Everyone loves Swerve. Hangman can't stand that. And now, he doesn't care what anybody thinks. All he cares about is his retribution, his revenge that he's getting on Swerve Strickland. This man will pay come hell or high water. This is great. This is honestly really great stuff. And I love just the absolute anger in his eyes and the determination that he's just like, fine, you know what, for the time being I'll be with you once more, but just so I can kill this man. And they don't care at all, because now they have a psychopath on their team and they will let him go let this man off the leash.
I would not be shocked if he's not the first guy from the Elite in the group, because he just wants as much time with Hangman as possible.
If Swerve is starting the match, Hangman is starting too.
Yeah, and I just think as far as the match, for storytelling, that would be great if that happened like that. We get Hangman and Swerve for a few minutes before the next guy comes in, because for some reason I have a feeling that the Elite might win the coin toss to get the advantage. I don't know why.
It's, oh, yeah? You don't know why?
Yeah, because it only happens every time in wrestling ever.
Every fucking time.
So, no, I'm looking forward to that. This was done well. Hangman, they could have just had Hangman come back and join the Elite and pretend like there was no problems between the Bucks and them. They chose the more difficult thing to say. Hangman doesn't like anyone. He does. He's like, fuck the Young Bucks. He's like, fuck Swerve, but I hate him more. So I will be on your quote unquote team, but as long as you understand why I'm here. I am not here. I don't care if we win this Blood and Guts. I don't care about Blood and Guts. I don't care about you. I'm here to fight him, and that's it. So I love that. That's how this came across. It's complicated. It's not like traditional wrestling. This is like, dude, I'll do whatever. I'll go back to this place that I did not want to go back to, if that means I can go after the guy that went after me. So I love it. I love this whole storyline. Hangman and Swerve is probably my favorite thing in wrestling right now.
Yeah, I can understand that why, because I mean, like I said, the character work is incredible. We then have a celebration victory toast for the TBS champion and New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Champ, Women's Champion. The CEO, Mercedes Moné, comes out to Calgary because she's going to do a double championship toast. And she says she's honored to be celebrating her history of becoming a double champion with her double victory. She shouts out the Young Bucks for the extra security because she says, I will not be interrupted. And she says she brings up the past, present, and future part as a way of stealing a little bit of the fire from Britt Baker, which I loved. I loved how they took what Britt said with her past, present, and future and her return promo, and now she's stealing it. And then she took it a step further because she said, I'm the best there was, the best there is, and the best there ever will be. And that woke Calgary out of their constant comatose slumber because they got mad after she said that. And then she calls Britt Baker saying she needs to wake up from her stupid fantasy of facing her at All In, because if she did do that, she would leave her with way more than a couple herniated discs and a stroke. She would leave her for dead, bitch. So she proceeds to get ready for the toast, raising a toast to the greatest of all time. Britt Baker comes out, walks down the ring. Two security guards get knocked down, one to an elbow strike, the other one to a super kick or a thrust kick or whatever you want to call it. And then the rest of the security just gave up. Like, they didn't even bother trying to stop her. And I firmly believe it's because the money that Nick and Matt pay these guys is not worth it. And they're like, nah, we don't need to work for these fuckfaces. Because if they actually were good security guards, they would do their jobs and actually hold her back. There was like six of them, and they didn't do a damn thing. They didn't do a goddamn thing to stop Britt Baker, as she was able to get into the ring with no problem as she chases off Mercedes Moné. So once again, the money for the Young Bucks is exactly what they've always been, counterfeit. Because it's worth nothing. It's fraudulent. It's trash. Just had to point that out because it was funny how the security did nothing. And since they wanted to make it a point that the Bucks hired that security, I find it funny to shit on it because it was terrible security. I love heel Mercedes Moné. I love Britt being able to upstage the CEO one more time. The crowd loves having DMD back. And again, this is my most anticipated feud heading into All In. So I thought this was fun. And I got another reason to shit on the Young Bucks because, once again, contribute nothing.
They contribute. Ahead, they contribute the heat. The fact that you hate the Young Bucks so much, and hopefully some of that hate transfers.
Like I said, dog. Again, everyone's gonna be like, "Oh, I'm working myself into a shoot." It's what it always is, dude. It's what it always is.
Oh,
I'm aware of the counterpoint, and there's nothing I can do to really dodge it or anything like that. I understand, but you know, fuck it.
Hate and heat, baby. Hate and heat. it's amazing. No, they hate each other, and, you know, I love, like, Mercedes, for a long time, was not even for a long time since she got there. She's kind of been, I'm happy to be here, kind of the tweener, you know what I mean? And now she is definitively heel and aligning herself, even if it's just loosely with the elite, is definitely on the heel side. I love that. I love this whole segment. I gotta point out this, because this is one of those things that I point out that nobody... Did you see the height on Britt Superkick?
She got her legs up so
DDP yoga, that should be the advertisement. You should have a commercial and just show Britt.
Yeah, just show that super kick.
Like, effortlessly got her leg up there and kicked that guy in the face. I thought that was pretty cool. Like, I was like, oh, hold on. She's bringing it. So, no.
Yeah,
she still got it. And, I thought this was really well done. They have immediately heated this feud up to a different level, and they've done the great thing where neither one of them have touched each other, and that's always good. That always builds up that anticipation. Mercedes and Britt, you know, the face of the AEW women's division versus, you know, in her own mind, the face of the AEW women's division. So I'm looking forward to this coming up and what's going to happen with it. And yeah, let's go. Let's fucking go.
Let's get this thing on the road, dog. Let's do it. Let's absolutely do it. We then had, before the main event, a quick backstage segment of, for some reason, Brandon Cutler being on TV, but thankfully he was on the ground. He had face paint on, too, so he got jumped, and they just the camera caught him at the end of him getting jumped, and it's Darby Allin who proceeds to get on camera, grabs the camera, and goes, "Hey, Jack Perry, what was that you say? We all have to make sacrifices." Cutler just made his, calling out what he said on Collision this past week. And he said, "You really thought this was over? The Elite, you thought this was over? Dynamite 250, we're just getting started." My boy, my heart and soul of this company, my favorite of all time in AEW. Oh, I love you. Well, you thank you for being just you. You psychopathic, bodily harm human that you are. Thank you for being you. Just, that's all I got to say. It was just nice to see Darby jump Brandon Cutler because, you know, it was fun. Got to see it. And now I'm excited to see what Darby does on Dynamite 250. It's going to be fun to see what he does.
So, yeah, I think I told someone this story last year. I was just walking around London, right? And, you know, I was like... And we look up, and it's Brandon Cutler. He's just looking around.
He's just dead. Yeah, exactly. It was so quick, you just were like, oh, shit, he's on the floor.
Yeah, so no, what I was saying is, yeah, last year, like, we were just doing our little tour of London, and me and Stevie ran into Brandon Cutler, and I'm wearing my CMFTR stuff. And I'm just like, man, how's it going? And, you know, he kind of just, like, looks at my clothes, like, why are you talking to me?
Right.
Yeah, it was so funny because, you know, I fucking love Brandon Cutler. I know a lot of people don't. I just always thought his character work and what he brings is such at a high level. So it was like, oh, I know I'm wearing this, but I still love you. I'm not in the middle of this, you know.
Right.
Exactly. I'm Switzerland. I just like how the gear looks. I just like how the clothes look. So no, but yeah, last night, him on the ground, and it was Darby. I howled. As everyone knows, Darby is one of my favorites in the company. When we were talking about Team AEW, was the name I didn't bring up because I didn't know how healthy he was. But now that he's there, I feel foolish to think that there was going to be a match where it's a cage match and you can lock him in and he's never been in it, that Darby was going to let there be another year go by where he's not in Blood and Guts. So right. I think they didn't say it, but he's the unofficial third member of Team AEW right now. And he's going after Jack Perry. That's a hot TNT feud. Jack Perry versus Darby Allin. Darby Allin, who made it very clear at one point that the most important title in the company to him was the TNT title. That was the world title to him. So, man, yeah, let's go. Dude, you give me Jungle Boy versus Darby at All In for the TNT title? Dude, you're making this card. I'm like, how's that everybody not buying a ticket?
Yeah, no, seriously. We then have the main event of AEW Dynamite, the Owen Hart Women's Tournament Final. Willow Nightingale versus Mariah May. Willow looking to try to go back-to-back. She faces off against Mariah May with Timeless Toni Storm and Luther by her side. Thank God this went on last. Oh, my God, this was spectacular.
I was wondering why it went on last, and then they go out and pretty much put on a banger match.
Yeah, like if first you of all, just the before match, we get into yeah. what took place afterwards, there's a reason why they went on last, because, I mean, these girls killed it.
Yes, they put on a banger match. Shout out to my girl Willow. Walking the old school Owen Hart gear.
Yes.
The black and yellow danger gear.
However, I will say, as much as it was cool to see her wear that, I knew she wasn't winning because Danielson wore pink and Mariah wore pink. And if you wear pink in an Owen Hart Cup final, you're winning. It's just how it goes. I've discovered that's a thing that they've done. You wear pink, you're winning the final. That's just how it goes.
That's crazy. And now, as soon as you said it, I'm like, yeah, Ricky did it. Willow won it last year wearing pink.
Brent and Adam Cole did too.
And I even said it. I should have known they were going to win because they had literally wore the exact same thing. You're probably not going to wear like this exact same thing without, trying to not having a plan that you're going to be holding those beautiful, beautiful belts. But this match was like physical and Chris Statlander came through with the interference, I knew it was Stokely that interfered, but he was so covered. I don't think Tony Khan, until he took his hood off after they actually cheated, I don't think Tony Khan could have suspended him, because I had no idea officially who it was, because his face never
came out.
So it was. I just thought that was really good. Again, well executed. Let me tell you, a lot of times AEW will have ambitious plans, and they won't always come out 100%. As far as this episode, as far as the turns and the angles and stuff, dude, they were on another level today. It was great, because it was just everything that they planned actually worked the way they wanted it to work, and that's amazing.
Yeah, no, I love so much how this match went. I mean, it was spectacular stuff. They did some really great stuff. There was a point where, as the match was going on and these girls were blowing each other up with haymakers, there was some blood as well in the match. Someone jumps on the apron trying to distract Willow, and it looks like a child. So I know immediately, oh, that's Stokely Hathaway. He's wearing a Sting sweatshirt, and then as the hood gets taken off of him, he is revealed that he distracts Willow. And then Tony then proceeds to distract the referee on the other side. Chris Statlander ambushes Willow with a kick. They run away, and that's when Mariah May hits a running knee. Willow still kicks out. A great spot there. Willow gets out of the way, tries to cradle her up, gets cradled up, but gets out of the way. Mariah, though, then proceeds to hit a cannonball by Willow. Tries to go for the Death Valley Driver, but Mariah rolls her up, gets the pin, and Mariah May wins the Owen Hart Cup final for the women's tournament. She will get to face Timeless Toni Storm for her AEW Women's World Championship at London, at AEW All In London. And they are celebrating, and they're hugging, spinning around in the ring. It's lovely. As they leave the ring, and Mariah is about to start running up the ramp to grab the Owen Hart Cup and the belt, in my head, I go, what if they turn her heel right here, right now? What if this is where they do it right now? I just say that out loud. And as Mariah runs up and Tony's following shortly behind, and she's happy and she's looking towards the crowd and she's just so emotional, she turns around and gets hit in the face by Mariah May with the Owen Hart belt. She starts whipping her with it, Luther comes over and she's like, you can get some too. He gets knocked down and then hit so hard that he sends him off through a table. And then Tony Storm's face comes up, confused, heartbroken, in absolute disarray and tears and blood streaking down her head. And that's when Mariah comes up. And as she busts her open, she grabs her shoe and takes the high heel. She doesn't watch for the shoe. Heel to the fucking forehead, stabbing her and smacking it across her head. She is drenched with blood. And as she does that, she also shoves Aubrey Edwards in the same way as the refs try to separate her. She then, just like Tony Storm's been doing, where they kind of do the little nuzzling each other's face or the Eskimo kiss or whatever the hell you want to call it. She rubs her face against Tony's one last time, her blood smearing into her face, and throws her to the ground. Best heel turn AEW has ever done. I will go and fight people to this day. This is their best heel turn they've ever done. And it's so great that it closed out the show. And now Tony Storm versus Mariah May, which we knew there was always hints they dropped. When was she going to go and want to usurp her and become the true new star of AEW, the new face of AEW's women's division as the world champion? We were wondering when that was going to take place. And she snaps right then and there when she finally gets what she's been going after this entire time, which was setting it up so she could get Tony Storm herself and take that world title. They tried before, but she had to deal with her name?
Are you talking
I'm
about
so mad I'm blanking on her.
Talking about the people.
Her last match.
Chris Statlander or. Sheeta. That's who she rolled up.
Yeah, she rolled up Sheeta, but then also, too, she was dealing with Serena Deeb. She was dealing with... Yes. She had to get through... what the fuck is her name? Oh, my God. I'm feeling so mad that I can't place her name. What the fuck?
Are you talking about the last person Tony wrestled?
Yes.
Mina Shirakawa?
No, there was Mina, yeah, but like...
That's the last person she wrestled?
Deonna Purrazzo. Deonna Purrazzo. Okay.
I was like, that was months ago.
Jesus Christ. Why was I falling so hard on her name?
Yeah.
There was many people she had to get through, first of all. That's what I'm trying to get across.
Yeah.
I apologize. I'm blanking Deonna Purrazzo because she was one of the big ones, too. But, yeah, she had to get through a lot, and Mariah couldn't get her chance just yet. Now she has her chance. And now she's turned the switch. I love so much how this was done. It was vicious. The backstage segment of her walking from the stage ramp and then Tony being carried as blood is just covered her entire face and the refs are trying to help her. I mean, listen, if Timeless Tony Storm was looking for her Oscar-worthy performance, this was it. This was it. This is the moment where, like, she has an unbelievable death scene, and then they award her the Oscar afterwards, and she screams, "You love me, you really, really love me." Because holy shit, this was vicious. I applaud AEW on this spectacular work on their part. This was fantastic. Go ahead, Floyd, you're muted.
Yes, I am muted. Hold on just a second. I'm on a call.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
No, you didn't. There was no way for you to know. I made sure you couldn't. But was this the greatest turn in AEW history? Yes, I think it was. Now, why was it the greatest turn in AEW history? Because you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming, but it wasn't about knowing it was coming. It was about the flawless execution of said turn. Like, if you're just a person that isn't always worried about, like, you're one of the quote-unquote casual viewers. You're one of people that tune in every week or whatever. But you don't get online or whatever. This would seemingly have come out of nowhere. Because even after she won, she shakes Willow's hand, very face. She's hugging Tony. They're kissing. They're loving each other. They're going. And Mariah's like, she's like, oh, God, I'm so excited. I'm so ecstatic. This is amazing. There's no goofy looks or stares off cameras or anything like that. And I use the word goofy, but literally, there was every other heel turn, there is a little bit of, you know, like foreshadowing. Something happened. She's making looks behind her back. No, last time we see her before the tournament, she's three-way kissing with Tony and Mina Shirakawa. I mean, yep. She is her daughter. Tony loves, wanted her to win as much as she did. That was the most important thing. Tony celebrated Mariah winning more than Mariah did. And they were hugging and they were loving and they were so excited because these two, the mom and her, you know, daughter were going to Wembley. And then in one motion, she didn't even grab it. She didn't hold up the belt. She didn't hold up in the trophy. One motion. Grabs the. I even watched it back because I was like, how smooth it was. She grabs the belt and hits it to her in one motion. And the look on her face, if you watch the emotion, all the happiness, all the joy, all of it goes out. And you see that mask, that psychotic mask. I have been watching a shit ton of Criminal Minds, right? And there is there are guys on there that play serial killers, and they will have that. They'll be super happy, and then when you see, then it'll be the moment where they're in there with their next victim, and their whole expression will change. That's what happened with Mariah May. We saw the serial killer that's been there the whole time, but she finally took off their mask, and all it took was hitting Tony Storm, and it was great. So executed. Tony Storm, Luther, who had been pointing it out from the beginning because Tony had kind of put her in front of Luther, and you saw the jealousy and the stuff from Luther more than you saw from Tony, and it was just so fucking well executed. All of the blood, there was this there's this picture that's going around where Mariah's standing over there holding Tony's head, and she is literally bleeding, and she has this look, and she is screaming because she cannot believe that the closest person in her life just betrayed her. Oh my God. So well done. Storyline of the year to me in professional wrestling. I'm not going to even call out names of other stuff, but it's the storyline of the year because you knew it was coming. You didn't know how it was coming, and it was flawlessly executed. And like I said, big ideas, the things that make these moments and stuff are this. This is the things that make this moment is the execution of the plan, and it executed so well. So congrats. Oh, girls, you have the hottest feud going. I mean, it could main event All In if you wanted to. I'm not saying it will, but it could.
Right.
Dude, we've had questions for a year or two about the women's division. The women deserve better. The women deserve better. The women have gotten better. They are getting what they deserve. We have three nuclear storylines in AEW, three main event women's storylines in AEW, one undercard storyline with Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo. We got Athena going up against Red Velvet, or Athena going up against Queen Amidala, Red Velvet going up against Billy Stark on ROH. Like, this is the best women's wrestling has been booked in the Tony Khan era.
Honestly, like, so good. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I mean, like, just the way Tony was completely floored and she was heartbroken and she didn't see it coming at all. And she was just like, that was her girl. That was her girl. She had just accepted Mina. Like, you know, she was like, okay, because you're so cool with Mariah, I'll be cool with you. With that final face off right there at the end of the last pay per view. Now she's got nothing. I 10 out of 10 all the way. Great way to close out AEW Dynamite. And real quick, we're going to go ahead and do a preview of what we're going to have for AEW Rampage and AEW Collision. So getting into what we've got coming up on Rampage, we're going to have the Kings of the Black Throne, Malakai Black and Brody King versus the Premier Athletes, a high-flying four-way match between Rey Fénix and Helico, Commander, and AR Fox, a trios match between Top Flight and Action Andretti versus Shane Taylor Promotions, Thunder Rosa versus Rachel Ellering, and Roderick Strong is said to be in action as well. Looks like a pretty fun Rampage.
Kings of the Black Throne on Rampage, beating up random tag teams. I believe someone asked for this.
Yes.
I believe someone asked for this particularly. Yes. Just running through random tag teams. Oh, my God. I don't know if anyone listens to the show from AEW, but it felt like it because that's all I've asked for. Kings of Black Thrones just beating the shit out of people.
Oh, you wanted that, too.
No more intimidating-looking tag team in the world than Brody Quinn King and Malakai Black standing next to each other.
And they want to make sure you feel the force of those guys. Dude, you feel the force of that.
The entrance, the work. Dude, they should be the best. Okay, this is me taking out my FTR shaded glasses. This 2T's too. Should be the most pushed tag team in the world. They should maybe lose once
vicious,
a year.
Dude. Yeah, they're
they
vicious.
Should maybe lose once a year. I'm like, I have been talking about the tag team division in AEW and how it hasn't been what I wanted. This is how you fix it. I don't know if they necessarily beat the Young Bucks. I know the Young Bucks are doing their thing right now. I understand.
Yes, they beat the Young Bucks. I answered that question for you.
Yeah, I don't know how they would execute this.
Murder. Full stretch murder.
Yes. But the Young Bucks got doing their thing right now, and I understand why the Elite have to have all the titles right now. But when you're getting past the storyline and you're in and you want to take the tag titles seriously again, Brody King and Malakai Black is who you put the title on, and you put it on them. There's these rumors that Malakai doesn't like to lose. Dude, I'm giving him what he wants. I'm telling you, they run through everybody for like a year. And then when you decide on who the team is, whether it is FTR, whether it is Young Bucks, whether it is a team I'm not aware of right now, when you finally, once they have their run, and then they come in and they finally beat Malakai and Brody King, you are going to make a tag team. I would love for it to be Aussie Open. I would love for it to be Private Party or some of the younger tag teams that have been yet to push. After a good build, they have to get build and they have to be pushed right. But I think I have decided, this is my Floyd universe, that the King of the Black Throne are the key to rebuilding your tag division.
I would second that 100%. I would second that.
Yeah, because I liked Mox and Claudio. When Mox and Claudio beat FTR, I was like, okay, well, Mox and Claudio is about to run the tag division. But dude, you're talking all in. Of course, we all have our fantasy booking for all in. All in. Give me Malakai and Brody versus John Moxley and Claudio. All day. Winner gets a tag team title shot. All day. Give me that vicious match.
There you go.
Just big, meaty man slapping meat.
All of it. And then the only thing I saw that was announced for Collision was we're going to get Roderick Strong versus Dalton Castle with the winner facing Mark Briscoe at Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor for the World Championship.
The Messiah of the Backbreaker, former ROH World Champion, let's go, or former World Champion Dalton Castle. Let me tell you, Dalton Castle was one of those guys, like the first time I saw him, I was just completely enamored by him. And then he had a back injury. And I will tell you, there are a lot of terrible injuries in wrestling. Of course, concussions, head stuff is terrible. But dude, the debilitating thing, and this is only coming from a very non-athletic person that has pulled a muscle in his back once. And I remember pulling a muscle in my back and having back issues. And I remember it hurt to do anything, like to flex my toes hurt. So I could only imagine Dalton Kelce, after all his back injuries, how he still does this every day. So he would be a great story, but if you're trying to sell people on watching your show, you got to go with Roderick Strong winning it.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. That is, and then like I said, that's what we got coming up for Rampage and Collision. And now we only have two little bits of news that we want to mention.
We got to wrap up. We got 7 minutes before the album drops.
So. I know, dude. I'm like fucking like literally like
These are two quick pieces of news. Rumor has it, came out last week from a bunch of different places, that Motor City Machine Gun have signed with WWE. We have not got that confirmed by any of the big places. So Sean Ross Sapp, Meltzer, none of the big places that I trust have confirmed that. But that's weird because in April, we pretty much heard that Motor City Machine Guns had all but signed with AEW.
Right.
So this is crazy. And it actually makes sense because I'm like, they're both healthy. They're both wrestling on weekends. So if you were going to sign Motor City Machine Guns, you think you would have announced it or they would have debuted. This is where I am as far as it. I'm a sports fan, just like Austin here, who covers sports for a living. People sign with different teams. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily all about money. Sometimes it's about fit. If you asked me a year ago where Motor City Machine Guns should go, I'd be like, dude, AEW treats tag team wrestling with levity and respect and everything. This is where you should be. A year now, the tag team division has really been put on the back burner. You know, it is what it is. Like I said, only 5 hours of TV a week, so you only can make so much so important at a time. So the tag team's on the back burner, so I wouldn't necessarily say this is the right place for the Motor City Machine Guns to get. But if they do sign with WWE, congratulations to both of them. They have been entertaining me for 20 years apiece at least. So if that's what they want to do, I wish them the best on that. And then we got a confirmation from Shawn Michaels and Stephanie McCourt that she has signed with the WWE and is going to Performance Center. And that seems like where she wants to be. Again, you know, sometimes it's about fit. And if you're like, you go into WWE, you got 2 hours of NXT, you got 2 hours of SmackDown, 3 hours of Raw. That's 7 hours on national TV. They do the NXT, they do the level up thing. You know, they do the loop. If you want to wrestle a lot, WWE is where you need to be. And I wish her the best on all that she does. She did a brilliant job at Forbidden Door. She was amazing. I want to point out, I do think that was just as much Mercedes as it was her, but it was a great match, and she got signed with it. She used it to leverage and get signed. Yeah, she kind of left CMLL and wherever high and dry, but I'm not going to pretend like I care. I don't really care about CMLL. I'm not going to fake it. I'm congratulating her on making the best decision for her. So, shout out. So, yeah, those two people, from what I understand, they were both approached by AEW about signing. So, they chose WWE, so that's why I reported it, and that's why we're telling you about it. But, yeah, congratulations to all three. Like I said, we can all ball. Some people's, I wouldn't even say trash, but some people might, you know, value him more. And she probably grew up wanting to be a WWE wrestler.
Right. And I will say, like, you know, I'm all for people going where they want to go. But Motor City Machine Guns, you were my only hope. You were my only hope to save me from the fuck bucks. I beg, this is just a rumor, and I beg you reconsider if you are considering. Like, I need you here, guys. I have nothing. I am a lone man on a raft of people calling me a clown because I hate the elite. I need you, my Michigan boys. Please, please. Shady's dropping tonight. Sign with AEW tonight. Michigan represent. I beg of you. Come on. Do this for me. Do this for my state. Do this for your state, your city, Detroit. Come on, guys.
Motor City Machine Guns versus FTR has been like a bucket list match for me.
It has to happen.
I've always been booking it, but I want to be real. If they sign there, I just tip my hat. That's all I can do. I'm happy for them.
That's all I can do either. I'm just going to beg and plead until it's confirmed.
Because Motor City Machine Guns versus DIY, You know what? I don't have anything bad to say about that match either.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it, though, for this episode of All Things Elite, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate the support. If you enjoy the show, continue to download it, whether you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, whatever your podcast platform you listen to us to. First off, thank you. And continue to support us by giving us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. Follow us on social media. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter, at Social Suplex. Make this show possible and have a bunch of other great shows you should check out. Go to their podcast website and go to their Twitter to see all the shows that they support and that they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Shady's about to drop. I'm a peace out. Y'all have a good one. Y'all be good. And I will let Floyd take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
Hey, everybody, watch wrestling. Enjoy wrestling. Have a great weekend. I'm going to keep this short because I'm actually excited too. Eminem's my favorite rapper of all time. So I will leave you how I always leave you. Whether it's home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at CedarPoint.com.